Okay. Welcome, Andrea. Was there somebody who came in after Andrea?
Margaret.
Margaret. Okay, great.
Andrea and Margaret.
Okay, so welcome, everyone. We don't actually have all that many people on the call compared to usual. I'm not sure what's going on. So that might alter what we do a little bit. Well, we'll see. So I think our first item of business is to welcome Jeffrey onto the call. Jeffrey is just kind of starting up with the training and has about three lifetimes worth of recordings to listen to at this point. And slowly we'll be kind of get up to speed. So welcome, Jeffrey.
Thank you so much. I'll start listening right away.
Okay. The first thing I thought we could do, I'll ask people for agenda items in a minute, but we're actually ready to move a little bit with our program. And so I thought we could make a plan for that. We have a structural change we're going to make, which I'm tempted to tell you about, but I think I'm going to stall just because we haven't figured out how it's going to work. I'll tell you just kind of in general what we're talking about is to make a sort of a working committee within the facilitators, maybe pulling that committee out of the folks who have established meditation groups, who have been around the practice and doing this for a while, to create the program, essentially, so that that happens, the creation and the maintenance and everything of it happens outside of the monastery. And so that's kind of the basic idea. We have some ideas about how that will happen, but there's some pieces we have to put in place before we're really ready to start going on that. In the meantime, what we can do, I think, is finish the work we started of setting it up for the key groups, particularly, but everybody, but particularly the key groups, to begin to bring in new people into their groups. So there's a couple aspects of that. One is to get the website up and changed. We have new text for it, and we have to update all the contact information of people and get all the key group people up there. And the other part is a flyer. But let me tell you where we are with that, and then we can make just a little plan for making that happen. So the flyer has been done for a while, and we just couldn't kind of hang around waiting for the right time. It's gone to the editor now, and as soon as it gets back from editor, we'll essentially be able to use it. I don't think we can send it out until we have all the information up on the web, though, because that's where all the contact information is. As far as that goes, you folks probably remember the text we created a while back that it talks about the difference between what we're calling a meditation group, which is, the kind of the old-timer sitting groups, people who are qualified to instruct in meditation, and what up until now we've been calling the key groups, which we'll start calling discussion groups. And it makes that distinction, and then it lists, and just tells what the difference is, which is not much. It's just basically the level of training that the coordinator has. And then it's going to divide, have two lists there on the website, a list of meditation groups and a list of discussion groups. And that way, anybody, including Sangha, could see that on the website and then come to a group. So that's really all we need to do, I think, to make this thing happen. Now, what I thought we could do is just make a little action plan. The hardest part is, and I was thinking, Tony, you could coordinate this a little bit since you have the information that's coming in from people about their groups. But I think, Tony, you need to finish collecting the information from folks.
Okay.
I need to get you the edited text, which probably could happen in the next couple of days. And then we have to get it to Bob to actually put on the web. Does that seem right?
Yeah, so I'll get all that, and then I send it to Bob?
Yeah. Bob, does that make sense to you?
We might just include Marie in it in case there's anything in terms of how we want it to look.
Oh, good point. Yeah, in case we want to, fancy it up a little. Marie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds good, Dave.
Okay.
I'll be happy to fancy it up if needed.
Okay. Good. All right. So I don't know what the timeline will be. And I know, Marie, you're very busy. So we might have to, we'll just do it as we can. But at any rate, the pieces should be done here on the monastery end, I think, probably in the next few days, hopefully. The other thing I did is we need to get confirmation from the guide. And also I want to bring Jen in on the thing we talked about last week. I'm not sure if everybody's on the call, but we had a very, what I found to be a very interesting conversation about what next book to use, because we're just about done with the key. And what we came to is Trying to Be Human. And the reason we chose that is because people were saying they think it would be accessible to folks who are new. I know a lot of the facilitators who are in the key groups are dealing with brand newbies almost all the time. And that would be a way that people could have, we could have a focus that would teach the practice to people, but in a way that would be accessible to them and would just kind of help them out. And then Chris had the idea that we could do every fourth week or something a simple exercise out of the How workbook as a way to get things experiential for people. So I think that's a good idea myself. I send it off to the folks in Africa to see what they thought. Haven't heard back yet, but that piece should be coming soon. And then we're going to have to create a way to do that. Actually, we could have a little conversation about that right now if anybody has any ideas. But, you know, I got a copy of the book and looked through it. It looks excellent for this use. The one thing about it is the readings are a little bit longer than usual or than we're used to. So we might need, you know, somebody who I actually don't know if we could scan them because they're in June's handwritten font. Maybe that would work, but Alex looks like he has information. Or maybe we just get volunteers to type them up and everybody could take a section or something like that. Alex is shaking his head no.
No, I bet you those exist as PDFs that June can just send over. I'm pretty sure, because she sent me over another book that was completely PDF. So.
Okay, great, yeah. And we probably have to have a conversation with her about copyright stuff because we're putting this stuff out, so I'm not sure how that works exactly. All right, any comments about any of that?
Hey, Dave, this is Lisa.
Lisa.
Yeah, hi. It just struck me as funny. I just wanted to share. It's exciting because when I first started the sitting group, I got guidance about, well, you know, you should do a reading and then have a discussion. And this was, like 10 years ago. And that was the book that we used. So I went, it's just kind of cool because it's like I'm coming back to the thing that we used originally, and I remember people responding really well to the group, and I always had newbies, and I remember they responded really well to the readings, and I don't know, we could go through it over, we actually did go through that book over and over again.
Yeah, that's neat. You might have even created a couple monks out of that. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe. I think so. So, I mean, it was really interesting. Like, so anyway, so it's exciting. And I did have a good experience with that book, like, you know, way back then or whatever. And I don't know. I think it would be a great choice. And some of them were long. The only thing that I noticed that was interesting is sometimes people would want to be like, what do you think she means by that, or what does that mean? But, I mean, I think that's probably the experience we're having all the time with the readings and the discussion groups.
Yeah, I think probably to some degree that's inevitable. It seems like it would be the key. If anything's going to provoke that, it's the key or that
yeah.
which you're seeking or something. But, you know, just in looking through it, I'm going to read it, the whole thing, as soon as I get a chance. But it's you know, it's more conversational and there's stories in it and stuff. I think I could really see it being something that could be accessible to people.
Yeah, I mean, it went over really well, and I really did. I always had new people. It seemed like it was like a revolving door. I'd get some people who stayed, but, you know, there are always new people popping up. And I don't know, it seemed to go over really well, so... you know, just from my experience of it but I thought it went really well, so I feel really excited about using it again.
Great,
so
yeah,
awesome.
Me too.
Oh, and also, if you did need someone to type them, I would be willing to do that. So.
Okay, well, I'll take that track that Alex offered us and see where that takes us. Maybe we won't have to do any typing.
Okay, thanks.
Dave, this is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
If I recall correctly, I'm one of those newbies that Lisa was just referring to in her group, and they were really, really great. It was a great place to
start. So a couple of monks and a whole bunch of other darn near, very close to monks people.
I just wanted to say that it's an inside joke here that two of us are monks because of that book, and I think it'd be great to have that book be the next one that you all do out there, because we sure need some more monks here.
Yeah, we need the labor, so that's good.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Dave, this is Janet.
Janet?
Hi. I have the book. My book is typewritten.
Yeah, it's they changed it. The ownership shifted over, and they put it in June's handwriting.
Oh, okay. Then I have an old version.
Yep.
Okay.
Rebecca, did I hear your voice too?
Yeah, you did. I was just thinking the timing seems perfect for starting a new book at the same time we're sort of publicizing the groups in a new way. Because there seems to be a lot of momentum and a good time to bring new people on board when you start something new, like a new book. And I'm just wondering if I'm not really sure what flyer. I can't remember what flyer, but I guess I'm wondering if there's a way we can advertise that we're starting a new book, to our people and surrounding communities.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I understand that, I remember there's another piece of this which I had forgotten. That Amy wrote up something, an email to go out to everybody announcing the groups. Is that right, Amy?
Yes, it was like an invitation to participate type of email, just announcing that groups were in local areas.
Yeah, so maybe we could even send that out to everybody, conceivably. I'd forgotten about that. I actually made, when I sent it to the editor, I made one little change on there because it said that the groups were currently using the key, and I just said, I changed it to the groups use readings from the books by Sherry Huber as the basis of a discussion. That way, we're not be changing it all the time. That's a good point. Now, is that what you were thinking, Rebecca, or were we thinking something different than that?
Well, I was thinking something that actually does have, we're starting a new book by Sherry Huber, trying to be human, and do a little, basically letting people know that this is starting if they want to get in on the first page of it.
You know what, Amy, if you wouldn't mind writing that down, we could take that on here to modify the thing we originally made and get that edited, and then we can get that out. And that could be all loaded up in our email system so that whenever we're all set with the pieces behind it, then we can fire it off and get people invited.
Yeah, that would be great. And then maybe... I could forward that same email to the people who I have on my email list that probably are not on the monastery email to come in the past.
Definitely. Yep, I think definitely so. Yeah, that'd be fun. That might be, it might provide a surge of new interest.
Yeah, thanks. That sounds good.
Here's Amy.
I just had an idea to talk about the groups forming on Good News Update. And to talk about starting a new book and the different kinds of facilitated groups that are happening around the country.
I think that's an excellent idea. So how about when we get there, then all of us here will remember, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll schedule a Good News Update about that. Alrighty.
Deanna.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what timing you think, because my group might change nights, and I want to make sure I'm in sync with when it goes live on the website.
Well, I mean, as far as it really depends on kind of Marie, really, probably at this point. So it will either be in this coming week or the week after next, if that's. Says that right, 3 weeks from now.
Okay.
We'll probably know something. You know what, maybe as we go through, Tony, if you could help us pay attention to this. When we know that it's when it's going to happen, maybe we could just send an email out to everybody so they know, too. Once it's up on the web, then we can send everybody that flyer, and that would tell people we're good to go.
Can I ask a question? This
sure.
is Andrea. I'm just wondering with the flyers. Are we sending it to people who've already attended the groups, and is that how we got their email addresses, or how does it work?
The flyers are for people who have been doing the key groups. Well, really, it'll work for both groups. Mm-hmm. But, the folks who were doing the key groups originally, the way they started their groups was through friends and family, and they quickly used them up, and they're having trouble filling their groups and having people come. So it's basically something they could go out to, emails to people they know, or also to be stuck up in, you know, bookstores and yoga studios and stuff like that.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the only thing I wanted to talk about. What else is out there for people to talk about, particularly issues that are unresolved from the blog? I'd really like to give the first priority to those because, you know, that seems kind of right considering the requirement. Does anybody have stuff like that?
This is Michael.
Michael?
I just had a question. I see occasionally a subject heading of Asheville IOP. I didn't know what IOP was.
I actually don't know, Michael. I don't think anybody is on the call to answer that.
Okay.
Dave, it's Jeffrey.
That's the group that Chris does. I forget what it stands for, but yeah. I think it's the inmates or...
Oh, that's what it is. That's true. It's Chris is doing a six-week series. He's done this a couple times before with people who are have severe abuse difficulties. He does like this. He got invited to do this. It's a social work kind of a thing as part of a program that he does. So he's doing this as a facilitation experiment.
Oh, got it. Okay. That's helpful.
Okay. What do people have you want to look at?
Dave, this is Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi. I had put a question on the blog, and so I guess I could just kind of talk about it now. Is that okay?
Okay, sure. Yeah, why don't we just do that instead of having an agenda? We'll just kind of go through one at a time. Go for it.
Oh, is that okay? Or okay.
I think that is good. Let's do it.
Okay. What I wrote about is that I had this experience where I was facilitating someone and pretty much just reflecting, and we got to a point where the person is pretty familiar with the practice, but the person was kind of saying that the only time they felt the presence of it, like this is the content, that the only time they felt the presence of the mentor was when they come to group, and that was the only time, and we kind of kept coming back there and coming back there and coming back there. And I can't remember, I wish I remembered the exact language that was happening in the moment. But in the moment, what felt like a thing to do, and I didn't do it, but what felt, I mean, it wasn't like a thought, it really was a feeling, was suggesting like that there are all these other opportunities that the monastery offers, like reflective listening buddy, and not telling her to do them, but like kind of putting them out there. It just seemed like we reached this point where maybe that would be helpful. But I didn't do it because it did feel like I was going to be, I don't know, not doing it the right way or something. I don't know. So I didn't. But I guess I was just kind of curious, like, if I had, would I have been way off base? Would it have been something to do? It felt right, like I said, but then I really was like, okay, let's not do that because I really don't know, you know? And so I didn't.
What do people think?
This is Anna. I, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this.
Yeah, you're really going to have to speak up. We can barely hear you.
Okay. I sometimes do an announcement if, like, Sherry's going to be in the neighborhood or something. So sometimes I take, you know, 30 seconds to go, Sherry's coming to town. And then I recently said, and Sangha Market has been launched. And maybe we could talk about that as a tangential, but that you're letting people know that there are opportunities without it being specific to one person.
Yeah, Deanna, you're blipping out a lot, or maybe it's our phone. I don't know. I can only hear every couple of words. But I think what you said is you make an announcement sometimes to let people know about things like the Zonga Market or Sherry's in the neighborhood as a part of your group. And that seems to me like that's the very appropriate thing to do. I think it's a little bit different from what Lisa's asking about, because she's actually asking about a kind of a response in the moment to, in the middle of a facilitation opportunity she's having. But that that seems like a really, to make those announcements seems good.
I guess I feel, I felt more comfortable making those announcements to everybody as opposed to anything in a particular response.
Yeah, so that might be a way of doing it, but when that seemed maybe a little bit more formal to you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about other folks?
Dave, it's Rebecca.
Rebecca.
I had a similar thing, come up that I just remembered just in the course of this conversation, where it did feel like the person talking was in a way looking for more support. And I did say, you know, it's always, you know, good to plan a trip to the monastery, you know. And it just seems like, I guess it always depends on where it's coming from. You know, it's always the how, not the what. But I tend to default on the side of it's always good to send people back to the mothership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you make a good point, too, that it's the how, not the what. And, you know, the other thing about it, in my experience anyway, this kind of thing is sort of hard to talk about after the fact because it really is an in-the-moment kind of a thing. And, of course, what we're doing as facilitators is we're learning the difference between conditioning, jumping into the moment, and doing what it wants to do, and the heart being there in the moment and offering something clear. And so, you know, that is what we're practicing. But at any rate, yeah, that seems right. Here's Alex.
Yeah, as I was listening to that, I was thinking it's true, exactly what Rebecca and Dave just mentioned. And the part that was coming up for me was that if someone was saying that they can only experience the mentor in the group, then that would be something to look at. You know, like I would just reflect that back to that person, which may be what you did. But just to have a discussion about that, because a lot of interesting things come out of what people are bringing to the issue.
I think what I heard in what Lisa was saying, tell me if this is not so, Lisa, is that you kind of reflected her around the block two or three times. And then we kind of just felt like that would be, you know, she just needed something. Or I don't know if it was a she or he, actually, I can't remember. But
yeah.
They just needed something, and that just arose for you to offer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. You can picture it. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I can only experience it here. You can only experience here. I can only, this is the only place you can, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went like back and forth. And then, yeah, I mean, and it really was a feeling. It was like the next thing could be like, have you ever considered, you know, I just want to, what would I have said? I guess I might have said something like, well, then you might want to look for other things like this group set so you can maybe have it other places or other times or just as a reminder, there's other opportunities besides the group. I know we only have group once a week, and so you might want to find other things, and there's other possibilities on the website or something like that. You know, I mean, I probably would have even been better in the moment than I am right now. But, yeah, and it's funny, like, listening to Alex and Rebecca. It's weird because I'm new at this, you know, trying to work this all out, but I felt like maybe it was conditioning that, because conditioning was worried about doing it right, and that's what kept me quiet. But really in the moment, like, it really was this genuine feeling of, like, this is what is needed right now. You know what I mean? Like, this little piece, and not a lot. I wasn't going to be forceful or anything, but just giving that.
That sure is my
projection.
No, I don't really know, but that's what I would project onto it. You know, conditioning is trying to take you out of a place of insight by throwing in the, is this the right kind of right thing to do sort of thing.
Yeah, because it was like, oh, well, don't do that. You know, all of a sudden I wasn't there. Like, you know, because until then I'd been right there with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly a voice was talking to me going, don't do that. And that was the first time the voice came up. And that,
especially considering the content of it, like, you know, it's hard to go wrong directing people back to the mothership, like Rebecca was saying. You know, it's really different. You know, you didn't suggest that she go start therapy, you know, or
right.
something like that, which, you know, would be a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Okay, any more on that one? Here's Melinda.
Well, it's not exactly on that, but it occurs to me we have a really elegant little support for practice page that has all of the different opportunities on a two-sided 8.5 by 11. And I wonder if we might want to look at having that available for people to pick up when they come to the local groups.
Cool. I think that would be a really great idea.
I think we maybe I lost track of this, but isn't that what's, I thought that was what's on the back of the donation blurb. No?
We have those handouts. I mean, we do have something listing what's available.
Okay, I'm having trouble. It must be our phone. Catherine, I'm having trouble hearing you. You said you do have those handouts?
Yes.
Does anybody know the scoop on this? What did we decide and what's out there for people?
This is Tony.
Uh-huh.
And my understanding was, because this is what I've done, anytime I do an orientation, I give them the guidelines for group practice.
Yeah.
And then there's another sheet that has support for awareness practice. I was trying to find it even right now. It's got support for awareness practice, and on one side it has talks about open air, email classes, workshops, retreats, the voices, and then on the back it talks about reflective listening buddies.
Okay. What about the donation thing we worked on?
Yeah, I don't know that if we completely finished that, or I haven't had that.
Yeah, we did. It would all... So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It must have got lost somewhere. Do other people have that and are using it?
No, this is Lisa, and I don't remember seeing a final anything on donations.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is David.
I don't either.
I don't know if it's the final copy, but I've got one. There's a couple that came out, and they looked pretty sharp to me, so I printed one out, and I've been using one of them, so
okay.
I don't know if
Tony, you say you don't have that?
I may have a version, but I didn't know that it was a final version.
Okay, I'm glad that came up. Marie, you don't have it, do you?
No, Dave, because I was wondering about that, because I think it almost got to the final stage, and then we didn't actually get a final version.
Yikes.
So,
That's amazing. Okay, let me see if I can track it down.
And Dave, this is Marie. I have a comment on that other flyer.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask about this in this call, because I was looking at that flyer, the supports for practice. You know, it was made probably a couple of years ago, and so it seems like it would be nice to update it with the new thing Sherry's offering.
Yeah, it sure would.
Yeah.
So how about if we re-upped all this stuff? I bet Mickey's the one who has a donation blurb. Oh, Mickey, are you on the call? Let me find out. I bet you anything, because she was more involved, I think, when we were working on that. Marie, what would be the best way to get that thing updated, would you say?
Oh, that flyer would just be for me to just do it. It wouldn't be a big job.
Okay. So, Tony, how about you collect, so it's the guidelines, the donation thing, and the how to get support, maybe you could collect all three, put this on your to-do list, and as soon as we have them all in one place, send them all out to facilitators and make sure everybody has it.
So send once they get updated? Or?
Yeah, once
okay.
they get updated.
Okay.
The guidelines one, I think we don't have to do anything with. I imagine the one you've got is the one we worked on. But the donation one obviously has disappeared. So I'll track that down, and then sounds like Marie will get you the other one.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah.
Do you think those could be posted to the facilitators page also, so we have, like, a constant reference for them instead of trying to hunt through our email to find them?
Sure. That makes sense to me, if that makes sense to other people.
That would be great.
Okay. Tony, do you know how to do that?
I don't. Would I post it? I don't know. Like post it like if I were to write something in.
The way I would do stuff like that is I ask Bob to do it.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
You know, this is Marie, Dave. That's a really good idea. I've been thinking about that too. That a lot of the things for the facilitators that have been sent out are collected in my email, and it seems like it would be good for us to start archiving it somewhere on the web.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay. Good.
So I should, when I get that from Marie, then I will send and ask Bob to post it to the facilitator's blog.
Do you mind, Bob? I just volunteered you. Is that all right?
Fine.
You're used to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might even just not even send it out in an email, but just send the facilitators a link, say, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good. Well, that was fruitful. Who has another issue?
Dave. Well, could I just ask one other thing about that?
Yeah.
I kind of would like to have it as an email just so, because it seems easier to print out that way.
Okay.
I'll
tell you why I said that. I didn't explain why. But as people were talking, I was realizing that if we send these things out to people, they're piling up in folks, in their computers, and then we have all of these outdated copies potentially floating around out there. But if we have it in one place, then we always know what the current one is. And it might, this is something that's happened in the monastery many, many times, where old things they die hard. You know, they have a hard time disappearing. And, we end up with stuff that we didn't really mean to have out there. So I don't know. How hard is it to print out off of that page?
I don't know. Can you just cut and paste it off the blog onto a document?
Well,
what it would be, I'm sorry to interrupt, what it would be is basically just a link that you would, there would be a PDF that would pop up and you just print it like you would normal document. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, okay. I can do that then. Thanks. I was picturing it coming to us as a blog.
And I just want to advocate for putting a date on it. A date on each one that this is revised as of August 2010 or whatever.
All right. Who else has an issue?
Dave, this is Karen.
Karen?
I'm still, something occurred to me about the conversation that Lisa brought up right as we were starting to talk about all the handouts. I can see in a position like that where I would refer to my own practice, that how, because I can relate to how the feelings that I have in groups that are so strong and what occurs to me for there, and then I can see myself going to, well, what are the things that I do to strengthen the mentor in my life, is then I list the practices that I do, the archives and things like that. So I'm just offering that as a possibility.
Uh-huh. Now, tell me how that's different from what we were talking about a minute ago.
Well, it may not be.
Okay.
It may not be different. I just hadn't heard it in reference to how someone would refer back to their own practice rather than suggesting.
Yeah, well, it'd be an interesting conversation to have. I thought you were going to, as you were starting off, I thought you were going to end up somewhere else, but one thing, I mean, if what you're saying is, in my experience, it's really helpful to go on retreats and stuff and offering that, that's one thing. You know, we have to be really careful as facilitators to be offering our own experience because, and other folks can speak to this too, but the danger in it is that we leave the role of the facilitator and we turn the attention on us, and it's really easy to put ourselves in a position like of answering questions for people or like that. It's easy to get pushed into the role of a teacher more than as a facilitator. So I'm not saying that that's not something we want to do, but that would be an interesting conversation actually to have, is sort of where people have seen that working, where not working, just because I know that there is that danger in it.
Well, that's really great, and I'm really glad I brought that up because it's actually something I've never done. And it just kind of occurred to me that that would be a possibility, and so it's really good that I brought it up because I can look at that more closely. And what you said really sounds important to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if you look at what Sherry does, even Sherry doesn't really do that. Now, she'll often tell a story of something that happens with her, which I don't recommend that people do who don't have a lot of experience, because it's another one that can just sort of really derail the group if you don't know how to bring it back. But she'll often tell a story about something that happened during the day or whatever that illustrates a point. But she remains the facilitator. You know, she never reveals her process as she's facilitating. And that seems just really, that seems important to do. Now, there are places where I've seen people do it in a way that's very skillful, where people do reveal their own process as a way of, like, the one that always gets me, I saw somebody in a very challenging interaction with somebody. It was in the middle of a, you know, there's nothing wrong with the retreat, tons of resistance. And basically as a way of diffusing the resistance, the facilitator told a story about themselves. And it was really powerful how it worked to take the attention off of the person and bring it onto the facilitator, but at the same time make the point that the facilitator was trying to make that the person was resisting. So I think there's a lot of places in that where it works, but it's a really subtle place as a facilitator. You know, a lot of, I think, the emphasis that we put on reflexive listening is just right around that, because it is such a slippery slope, if we start offering something of ourselves, we can just end up in a lot of really interesting places with it.
Yep, thank you very much.
I wonder if, since we have that topic on the table, if other folks have experiences with that or comments or...
Hey, this is Lisa.
Lisa?
I it's interesting because I do people over the years have asked me, like, well, how long do you meditate every day, or how many retreats do you go on a year, or how many, you know? and I guess what occurs to me is, you know, I have learned to never, I just don't usually tell people. I mean, even casually, if they, you know, if I happen to know them in a friendly way too, and they'll be like, well, how often, you know, I have to know them really, really well before I'll tell them, because I wouldn't want anyone to think that my standard of practice, or, you know, getting the messages on my text phone, or you know, doing the reflective listening buddies, I wouldn't want anyone to think that my standards have to be their standards, you know what I mean? And I think that is the part that can be tricky and dangerous. Not dangerous, you know, but I mean, about talking about what I do, because I have felt how much people project onto me, and I'm sure it's only a tiny, minuscule fraction of what people project onto the monks and onto Sherry, you know. You know, so it's enough to wake me up and be like, wow, I don't want to ever be someone's standard for what practice should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, I think. And that was the point that would come to my mind, too, and we've talked about this in the past, too, around facilitation, that we don't want to, not just facilitation, but just representing practice in general, that we just basically don't want to give people stuff to project onto more than they already do. You know, it's a big part of being a monk. We're actually having a little miniature conversation about this right now here at the monastery, in some ways, of, you know, not revealing personal information, because it's just not helpful for people to know what is going on with you or where you came from. Or, you know, like I remember a long time ago, somebody who was kind of on the edge of practice came up and asked me what my last name was. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you that. And I had all kinds of stuff going through about it. I went to Sherry. She said, no, that's exactly the appropriate response. It's inappropriate for someone to be looking for personal information from somebody who represents practice, because that's what we're doing. You know, we're representing practice. We're not representing ourselves. And so I think that's just a really good point you're making. Other folks?
Well, Dave, something came up in my group last week that I didn't really, you know, feel like it was a problem or anything, but I wouldn't mind getting some feedback. And that is, so the person sharing was talking about how, you know, just heart opening and expansive she was feeling, and was so glad she found this practice and all that. And she said, and so when do you ever get a turn to share? Or to talk, and I reflected that, you know, in a way, and she said, well, yeah, but it seems, you know, it just seems like, you know, when do you ever get what we're getting here? And so I said, well, we have, you know, we have a facilitator program and support calls, and we get support from the monastery for our practice, and then I took it back to whatever she was saying about going, I reflected again sort of how she was feeling this heart-opening place, and that you know, just bring it, then kind of reflected again, and she went on to really look at that, you know, and so I don't know, it seemed fine in the moment, but I guess now I'm looking at it and wondering.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly seems good and skillful to me. How did it feel, effective?
Yeah, because what I was seeing was how, you know, that heart open, that open place of generosity, and she was wanting, I project anyway, she was just wanting everybody to get to experience that, and that's sort of where she came back to.
Yeah, and I think for, and other people can speak to this too, but for me, anytime that's happening, basically what we're doing is deflecting the attention. Because we don't want the attention to be on us. We want their attention to be on them. You know, they're turning their focus inward. And so, I mean, that seems like basically what you did was you deflected her attention. You know, you just made a simple answer and went on. You know, I've been in situations before where people will want to ask really direct questions about, you know, where did I come from, especially like at the end of it, there's nothing wrong with the treat, or I've seen it with other facilitators too, where I came from, how to get involved with practice, what's my practice really like? How long have I been to the monastery and stuff like that? And other facilitators here might have good stock answers, but mine is usually along the lines of something like, well, you know, I would love to talk about that. I could tell you all day about myself, but unfortunately, if I did that, I'd have to leave my role as a facilitator. So I think maybe I better just stick with the role I have, and we better, you know, talk about you in some form.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else about that one, we can go on to something else. Was there someone else?
This is David. I don't know if this is kind of on the exact same topic, but it feels like a somewhat similar situation on some level. And I'd just like to get some guidance on this. So there's a gentleman who's been coming to group for about 3 weeks now, and I guess it was last week, I noticed that he had left a bag of bread, actually. This is like a gift or an offering as a thank you. And I noticed that he did the same again this week with a box of strawberries.
I wonder if he takes requests.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly enjoying it, but so anyway, that my point being is that I've emailed and have used the emails to him to direct the appreciation. So he's expressing appreciation and gratitude. He's not giving feedback on group in the sense of, hey, you know what, I think, you know, you're doing such a good job and group is really great and I so enjoy it when I come and do that.
I want to give you some bread. I'm so happy.
Yeah. It's basically the sense I get is that he's kind of just overwhelmed with gratitude for the practice and the fact that it's right here in his hometown. And so he's been giving these things, and I've been responding with emails of, you know, well, you know, thank you, and it's a wonderful practice that we, you know, we have an opportunity to share, et cetera, et cetera. Keeping it very short. Is there any guidance on that? I mean, I don't. Kind of a strange situation, but it's...
Yeah, I had a couple thoughts about it, and other people can jump in, too. I mean, kind of on a couple levels. One is, and this occurred to me the other day, and it might be good, actually, to make this really clear to people in the notes, Tony, that, we have this program where we talk about this stuff. We have a blog, but that doesn't mean that guidance is not available immediately as things happen, unusual things happen, and... So that's one answer is, you know, if something like that comes up, before you engage with the email, you could email into the program and say, hey, there's this thing that's come up that I've never run across before. What shall I do? And then that's actually kind of helpful because then we could take that and we could bring it to a facilitator call and talk about it with everybody. Yeah, it's something that would be new. So anyway, just want to make sure that you and other people are aware that that kind of support is available, and that kind of guidance is available in a situation like that. So that would be on one level. And then, you know, on another level, and then, again, other folks can express other points of view. But it seems like we need to ask him not to do that in some very kind way. And you could even, you know, normally, David, like in our in the organization, you know, here at the monastery or even a little bit larger with Living Compassion or Effective Listening Buddies or the programs that are officially sponsored, you know, we take great care with things like this because any response is going to represent practice, no matter how it's intended. And so, like in a case like this, like you could draft up an email and send it to us and get our okay just to make sure that it feels like, you know, what you've got is on the right track.
In terms of a kind response to him of saying, you know, please, you know, don't bring food anymore. Send that to you folks first and then kind of get that signed off.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
who,
to, you know.
Shall I send that to?
What's that?
When I send that email in, who shall I send that to? What email address?
Through the regular facilitate, whatever it is. Is it facilitators at?
Well, it's actually, right now we have it Tony at Living Compassion.
Okay, yes, so you're just sending it to the coordinator.
Oh, okay, I got you. Uh-huh.
Tony, can we make sure that's a part of the notes? Because I have a feeling other people are confused about that also.
Okay, about the where to send and that they can send.
Mm-hmm. And that they can ask because, you know, that's a critically important part of our structure. Because if you don't have a way to seek guidance like that when something comes up that's new, then you're pretty much on your own to decide, which is fine. And I'm sure people probably would do a pretty good job most of the time. But, you know, what we're trying to do in practice all the time is seek the largest perspective that we can access to make sure that we are representing practice as it needs to be represented. You know, and there's another part of this, too. It recently happened with someone where there was something as close to an emergency that happened in the group, like an emergency guidance situation where somebody was doing odd things outside the privileged environment, sending texts to the facilitator, things like that. And that facilitator emailed and I think even called also the registration office here at the monastery. So that would be another thing you could do if you have an emergency, if you want guidance immediately about something that is really difficult that's happening. That would be a shorter and faster way to the source, really. Here's Melinda.
Well, I was looking at what I understand the specific incident to be and realizing that one of the things we really want to find a way to do is not have people sort of make it personal. And because I was thinking along the lines of, well, it's great to leave bread and how about sending some money to the monastery? And, of course, not phrased like that, but that the support that's being offered is sort of redirected from this specific group and perhaps even to the specific facilitator, although I have no idea, you know, what was going on in the person's mind, but redirected to this is a group that is a part of the monastery in a way. And so that support is actually directed toward the monastery.
Yeah, that's good. And always with stuff like that, too, to start off with thank you. You know, because I'm sure it comes from a very sincere and, you know, perfectly, you know, wonderful place in the person. He just doesn't really have a sense of how it works. I explain it to him. It's nice, too, because that's a teaching. That's something, you know, he gets to get something about practice and what practice is through that. Okay, any more on that topic? All right. Is there another one?
Hey, this is Dan.
Dan.
So this is just kind of a quick reporting in. I've been looking over the past several weeks at having, you know, had a room already for a bunch of people for 18 weeks and nobody came, so I dropped the room and then the schedule got off and so forth. So this two things have happened today. The first is this morning I ended up taking an apartment that's bigger than the studio that's actually got a good room for practice and for groups and that kind of thing in it. And that was this morning, and I did that not knowing that on this call we were going to be talking about new publicity and all that. So it just was interesting to me, the timing of all that. I wanted to mention it.
Mm-hmm. And, like, where are you with the whole thing right now, Dan?
Process or content?
More content.
Content. So the content is that I when I first started up, I invited everybody I thought I could invite, and a couple people came a little bit. One moved out of town. The other is my partner, who comes when she can. And everybody else I invited just sort of never showed up for an orientation. So that was that. So
I guess what I mean is, where are you in terms of, like, cause you talked on a call recently, I think, saying that, you know, maybe for right now it might be good to just be a part, get an extra buddy in the Reflective Listening Buddies program and practice facilitation that way, and put off the idea of group for a while.
So I see what you're saying. So that's where it's been, and I've been self-facilitating and doing that, and that's been great. And I guess that's really what's going on with me right now, is I'm wondering if this move on the part of the whole group to open things up is something I should be part of.
Okay.
And I don't really know the answer to that.
Okay. I'm not sure if I do either. We might have to get some guidance for you. What would be your preference? Do you know?
I think where I am about it, my preference is coming from the process level of not being sure I'm ready and not knowing any way to find out other than trying.
Okay.
And I don't have friends and family to draw on to try with.
Right.
So, but it also seems, you know, depending on who shows up, it could potentially be a really good next step or a really big next step.
Right. Okay. All right,
so that's where it's at.
And Dan, what town are you in now?
Cambridge, Massachusetts.
You're in Cambridge. How close is that to Boston?
It's next door. It's the same. It's, you know.
I mean, close enough that, could you go from one to the other to go to a group at night? Would people do that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so very close by. Okay, we'll have to get you some guidance on that one, Dan.
Okay, and shall I just wait for that, or should I write to Tony? How do I?
You could write to Tony. That might help just make sure it doesn't fall through the cracks.
Super. I will be, thank you. I'll do that.
Okay. Hey, we've got time for one more, probably. Okay. No takers?
Dave, this is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I'm so excited. I don't know what is exactly going on or what's going to happen, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't think any of us actually know what's going on or what's going to happen. So you're in the right group.
Oh, good. Good. It just seems really wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun. And I think I predict that when we are able to embark on these changes that I was telling you about earlier in the structure, I think it's really going to help all of us. A part of what has happened with the program is that it is being attended to here at the monastery, where our attention is extremely stretched. And I think there's a way, I hope we're creating a way where it can get more direct and complete attention. And I think that's really going to help the entire program. And so I'm excited about it, too. I really look forward to what's going to happen in the upcoming months.
Yeah, can't wait.
Okay, well, why don't we call it quits then? Tony, anything else we need to do before we let these folks go?
Yes, can I end the recording first and then see if I think a couple people might have come on?
Sure.
Could I do that?
Yep.
Tony, this is Jan. I came on a couple minutes late.